All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Friday, January 12th. Stocks looking to end the week positive. Earnings season kicks off. We'll look at big banks' earnings today. More inflation data coming out this morning and a bit of a surprise. And Tesla falls after cutting prices. Plus, what's going on with our Oxy puts? And can I sell calls against my UPS shares? There's a lot to talk about today, so let's go ahead and get started. If this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. And you know what? Let's have some fun and get right into things. Look at the charts here. And here I have the S&P 500 up. Today, we actually started the day strong, gapping higher and rallying early. Now, a lot of this had to do with PPI data. So let me go over here to PowerX Optimizer. We're going to pull up the economic calendar. We see that we did have a major report this morning coming out an hour before U.S. markets open. This is 5:30 Eastern time, 8:30 a.m. Sorry, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And core PPI coming in flat, no change. A 0.2% increase was expected. PPI data coming in lower, a minus 0.1% change versus the 0.1% increase that was expected. So this was a big shift from what we saw yesterday with the consumer price index. So yesterday, data coming in a little hotter, and now PPI data showing the exact opposite, the trend being lower, actually improving. So that had investors, at least early on, really optimistic and thinking, hey, maybe this CPI data might have been just a blip and not necessarily a trend. And of course, the Fed wants inflation and these numbers to come in as expected or even lower, just so they can get back to some normal levels and start cutting rates. But yesterday the discussion was, hey, rates higher, longer, and now with PPI data offsetting that, investors seem pretty happy with the data early on. Let's look at the E-mini S&P and look at a 5-minute chart so we could see the reaction overnight. And here we see that futures were sideways, moved a little bit in the European session, dipped a little bit, and then 8:30 Eastern, a nice rally into the open, starting strong, but since pulling back. So the major indices have since turned negative. The S&P now down 3.5 points, and the Dow also down, but down 0.5%. The NASDAQ is flat. Now, if we go to a weekly chart, we see that the NASDAQ, a strong week. So even though we're a little bit in the red right now, the NASDAQ up over 3% for the week. The Dow also positive, but not by as much. The Dow is a laggard this week, down or up 0.1% right now. So the Dow, you know, possibly finishing the week negative. We'll have to see if it falls a little bit more, but in jeopardy of losing that the gain that we had earlier. And then the S&P finishing strong right now, 1.7% for the week. So it does look like the S&P and NASDAQ are going to end the week with some really nice gains. The Dow, yeah, that possibly in limbo. And we'll just have to see where we end up. But all in all, it's been a pretty decent week for the market and PPI data, a positive reaction, although it looks like there's a little selling going into the long weekend. Now, just if you're not familiar with what's going on Monday, Dr. Martin Luther King's Jr. birthday, it's a market holiday. So Monday, January 15th, U.S. markets are closed. So maybe a little profit taking going into the weekend. A little uncertainty there, and that could be contributing to the little dip that we've seen here in the overall markets. Now, in addition to PPI data and inflation data being a key focus this week, We had big bank earnings. And let's take a look at JP Morgan here. So JP Morgan, look at this, actually reporting worse than expected earnings and worse than expected revenue. This was interesting. They had a 15% year-over-year profit decline for the October-December period here. So traders trying to figure out what to do with this. There was an open that was pretty much flat, and then we rallied past 176 since, have pulled back, still up for the day. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a weekly chart. What the heck? I was going to say that didn't look quite right. Yeah, I thought we opened stronger. So yeah, make sure you're looking at the right chart. So let's take another look at this. The reaction, earnings were the same, but the reaction, a gap higher. I was going to say that wasn't what I expected looking at that chart. So gap higher, a rally since pulling back here, still up, still positive for the session. Now, in addition to those earnings results, CEO Jamie Dimon always sharing his thoughts, and he is someone that Wall Street respects, and with you know, being in control of the biggest bank here, this is where he shares his thoughts and ideas, and it has a little weight. So he did share concerns that he believes inflation could be trickier and actually stay higher longer than the market expects. Quote, there is also an ongoing need for increased spending due to the green economy, the restructuring of global supply chains, higher military spending, and rising healthcare costs, he said in a statement issued with the bank's fourth quarter earnings release. And quote, this may lead inflation to be stickier and rates to be higher than markets expect, end quote. So those were Jamie's words, and we'll have to see. As far as inflation being stickier and rates higher than the market expects, and this is where Marcus and I, we both believe that right now, if we look at Fed funds futures, the market is expecting cuts sooner than we believe they will take place. But I think it will be a nice rate cutting year, but towards the second half of the year and not in the first half. Now, we also had some other big banks reporting. We could look at Wells Fargo. WFC is the ticker symbol. Wells Fargo here down 2.5%, struggling a little bit. Now, Wells Fargo reported better than expected earnings and revenue. And they actually, you know, this was interesting because I thought I saw that revenue was down. But either way, TradingView reporting better than expected revenue. Nonetheless, hey, Wells Fargo is down for the day, down 2.6%. Bank of America also reporting, BAC, Bank of America down 2.5% as well. And if we look at earnings here, worse than expected earnings, worse than expected revenue. And Bank of America reported more than a 50% year-over-year net income decline for the fourth quarter. So that catching some investors by surprise after rallying and moving sideways, really, as we had went into earnings, but down 2.6% for the day. We also take a look at Delta Airlines, DAL, the ticker, another company reporting earnings, and another disappointment here. Now, they actually reported better than expected earnings and revenue, but actually well, I take that back. Either way, disappointment because down 7.8%. And here we see that the Delta CEO highlights testy geopolitical environment and also lowered earnings guidance. So that's the key there, not necessarily the earnings report and it being positive revenue or better than expected revenue and earnings, but guidance being a factor in this drop that we see right now. So Delta getting hit 7.8%. Now, before we take a look at open positions, let's take a look at Tesla here. Tesla having a rough time. Now, Tesla earnings still 12 days away. Tesla down 2.6%. right now, after cutting prices on both the Model 3 and Model Y in China yesterday. The company also said its production plant in Berlin will face disruptions due to shipping disruptions in the Red Sea. So the Red Sea and some concerns there contributing to part of this loss here, 2.6%. And this, you know, tension in the Red Sea continues to carry over into crude oil. There was a report that Britain and the U.S. carried out a military strike against some areas in Yemen, and that led to a spike in crude oil. Crude oil getting above $75 a barrel. That was lifting some oil and gas stocks, but we've since pulled back here, and now we're up 1.6%, trading just above $73 a barrel. So there was that spike, and that actually had an impact on some stocks that we're watching. So with that said, let me go back over to PowerX Optimizer and let me bring up Oxy. So if we look at what's going on with Oxy, Oxy gapped up 58.25. Yesterday, there was a gap higher with a disclosure by Berkshire Hathaway and an increased investment by them. Today, there was a gap higher, but we are trying to fill that gap, trading at 57.63. Now, both Marcus and I have the 57 puts that we've sold that are expiring today. We'll have to see where things end up. But right now, trading at 57.64 doesn't look like the puts are likely to get assigned. If we close below 57, we will most likely be assigned shares there and be the proud owner of Oxy at 57. Kind of watching this today, looking at maybe the possibility of closing those 57s expiring today and then seeing if we have more of a gap fill throughout the day to sell 57s for next week. Another possibility here, taking a look at Exxon. Now, Exxon isn't moving a whole lot here. But Exxon having the same situation as Oxy, where there was a gap higher, kind of following that reaction in crude oil and then pulling back in crude oil, also pulling back here in Oxy. Exxon. So we're not in Exxon, but we made a high of 165 and now we're trading at 99.32 in Exxon. The 99 strike, which is super tight here, but the 99 strike, you might be able to get 86 cents, 39% annualized. Some nice support here. Also, hey, we're going into a short week next week. So something to consider. I wish there was a little more premium. 98 would be great, or just a lot more premium at the 99 with it trading at 99.32. Just not a lot of volatility in this one right now. But I think it's a good consideration, something that, is, potentially a stock and strike to consider, if not waiting to see what happens over the weekend and then looking at things again on Tuesday. Now, just to run through open position, CSIQ pulling back a little bit more. Both Marcus and I interested in possibly adding to our position if we get down here towards 21. Right now, at this point, don't want to jump the gun on adding to the position, because after this really, really nice move higher, this pullback seems to be intact, right? Meaning that right now it looks like we're more likely to continue to edge lower just based on the chart. I do see a nice range, some nice support there. And if we do get a rescue on, it gives us an opportunity to bring our cost basis down. So with another push higher, we could sell calls a lot sooner than we can if we hold out and wait for this to get all the way back up to our cost basis. Now, looking at NextEra Energy, NEE up a little bit for the day. Nice trend line here, hanging in there. Nothing for us to do. That one down from our cost basis, but just edging higher, moving up. So that one working out. We just need to hurry up and wait on that one. UPS. Yeah, gosh, getting up towards 161, 162-ish. Looks like There's a little short-term resistance there. It was positive early today, but has since moved lower. We're down 0.3% for the day. This is one I was watching to potentially sell calls on. If we look at the wheel calculator here, and I go out to January 19 for UPS, let's slide over here. And oops, that's PNC. Let's slide over here. So January 19, I want to see what the call premium looks like. And we see here that there's some premium at 160. This would give 32% annualized, $1.13 by $1.18. So you might be able to get $1.15. So nice premium at the 160 if your cost basis is at 160 or lower. If your cost basis is at 162.50 or 165, not a lot of meat on the bone here. So just 5% annualized at the 165 strike, 162.50. Although there's maybe 45, 50 cents available, that would be 12% annualized. So Mark is being assigned at 157.50. Some great premium at this level in the 160 is decent too. But above that, not a whole lot to get excited about. So nothing there for me. Still in UPS. And if I look at the chart here, I see that my cost basis is 165. My break even is 161.06. So not interested in selling calls below my cost basis at this point in time. I just find that as soon as I do that, there's a big spike and I would have been better off waiting. So right now, waiting for me on UPS. Now, WTFs, the win the fear strategy. There's been a lot of excitement about the strategy this year. Some great signals, some nice results, just a super easy strategy to follow and to potentially trade. And today, if we scan for NASDAQ 100 stocks, let me take away these filters. And we're searching for any. So this one was interesting. And I was almost hesitant to bring it up, but it was a signal. And Marcus and I really like with this strategy that it's so simple and rules-based, and it's easy to follow signals. And we found that the S&P 100, NASDAQ 100 signals, the performance over time is appropriate for what we want to trade and risk money on. And we've said that out of 10 trades, just for reference, we would expect 7 winners, 2 small losses, and 1 potential stop out, with about a 70% winning percentage and a decent profit factor where we're making money and seeing some nice consistency over time. Now, this was a valid signal, Siri. And if we look at what happened in the past, we see that the win percentage, 57%. So below our expectations. Profit factor of 0.68 means that this has not been profitable based on past signals. Now, here we could see in the trading report that was Siri with our look back here. There are some small profits and there was a nice win streak here. But then we had some small losses, back-to-back stopouts in 2023 during the bear market. And this losing streak here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 losses in a row hurt the numbers and hurt this performance. So a little torn here because, hey, is this now the time to shine for Siri, right? Are we going to see another win streak? This is more typical of WTF trades than this type of losing streak, at least in the NASDAQ 100 and S&P 100. So should we factor in the past performance on these signals, or should we just keep it simple and take the signal? So our plan is to take the signals, but of course we could use a little bit of discretion. For full transparency, Marcus did not take this trade. And part of it had to do with him being busy this morning, in all fairness. But also looking at this, if you look at the chart, it just, like with the past performance and the way that Siri moves, it's not as nice as like an MU, right? where MU, we see, okay, 73% win percentage, 1.7 profit factor, 14 wins, 5 losses. If we look at the trading report, see, this is the type of performance that I would expect with WTF signals. And Siri just doesn't quite look the same. So what did I do? I decided to take a half of a position versus what I'd normally take. So I have a little skin in the game here. I did take this trade. I was filled at $5.25. We'll see where it ends up. But I decided not to go full risk for me. Instead, have a little skin in the game, but use a little discretion there, not have full risk, because I want to keep a closer eye on this and whether or not we should use these type of filters for NASDAQ 100 and S&P 100 trades or not. If I was to look at all stocks, I definitely want to have some more filtering, but NASDAQ 100 and S&P 100, some quality stocks, and when I see them in the PowerX optimizer scanner, then I definitely consider them. So anyway, we'll see how Siri goes, and let's take a quick look at what's going on next week with earnings. So looking at the calendar, big banks and United Health, also Delta kicking off earnings next week, Monday, nobody reporting, market holiday. And then Tuesday, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, PNC, so some more banks, Schwab on Wednesday, Discover on Wednesday, U.S. Bancorp Wednesday. You also have Kinder Morgan, Truist Financial, PPG, Schlumberger, The Travelers, State Street. So more financials next week, and it'll be interesting to see. What if there's a follow through right now? It seems as though investors a little bit disappointed with the big banks that have kicked things off for today. We'll see if that continues to be the case. And then the following week, it really starts to get busier here. So the week after, J&J, United, Netflix, Verizon, Tesla, Intel, some Visa, American Express, some big names, a lot more activity in the third week of January. But next week, definitely some bigger companies, and we start to see earnings and how the market reacts. We could also take a quick look at next week's economic calendar, bank holiday Monday, Empire State Manufacturing on Tuesday, retail sales on Wednesday, unemployment claims, which is typical for Thursday, consumer sentiment on Friday. So I think it's more of an earnings week next week, and also retail sales. Investors want to know what's going on with retail. We also have some Fed members speaking that could potentially move the market, although they are labeled as low flag, low importance reports. So I think I went a little bit long today, but I hope you liked the video. I hope you like what I had to share. Here at Rockwell Trading, we love helping traders, and we love talking trading, and we're really big fans of the software because it's based on how we trade, how we risk money in the market, but also the feedback that we receive from people who are owners in our mastermind community, also our YouTube community. So if you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe. And if you know someone that is also interested in learning how to trade the wheel strategy and following along with the type of trading that we do here, please share this video. And with that said, until next week, happy trading, everybody.